I spray and scrub, but the soap scum in my bathtub is still there.
I spray and scrub, but the burnt sauce on my stovetop sticks around.
Sprays can leave grime behind, but new Mr. Clean Ultra Foamy Magic Eraser combines the scrubbing power of an eraser with the cleaning power of Dawn to melt away tough messes on contact.
Just wet, squeeze, and erase.
Stop spraying, start erasing, and clean with more magic than ever with new Ultra Foamy Magic Eraser.
Mr. Clean, Mr. Clean.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News. Gunfire at Chiefs rally. I'm Michelle Franzen. In Kansas City, Missouri, reports of several people shot following the end of celebrations for the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl win. Kansas City police say two armed people have been detained for further investigation. Ambulances were arriving on scene to treat people, but their injuries unknown. ABC's Alex Perez is on the ground in downtown Kansas City with more.
The rally had just ended, maybe about 10 minutes or so, when we saw the chaos. We saw groups of people sort of running, appearing to be running for their lives. And then we heard sirens. We heard ambulance sirens and police vehicle sirens. Now, at this point, the information we have is still early.
Again, reports of several people shot at the Chiefs' victory parade and rally. Police say two people are in custody. Hundreds of thousands of fans on hand for the Chiefs' Super Bowl championship rally at the time. This is ABC News. Sunday's incident at Joel Osteen's megachurch in Houston has prompted a call for new gun laws in the Lone Star State.
Long before Sunday, Janice Moreno had a history of mental illness, but she was still able to legally purchase the gun she carried into Lakewood Church. Nicole Golden, the executive director of Texas Gun Sense, says red flag laws and background checks might have prevented this.
Those policies can give tools to family members or loved ones when they are seeing threats being made by a loved one in possession of a firearm.
Moreno was shot and killed by police at the church. Her 7-year-old son was critically injured. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
It's a sign of the times. An Ivy League school has announced its first AI degree at the University of Pennsylvania. Undergrad students in its School of Engineering will now be able to earn a Bachelor of Science degree in artificial intelligence. The university says students will be able to apply the skills they learn to build responsible AI tools. I'm Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Allen. The State Assembly passes a Republican tax cut package.
Four bills include an expansion of the state's second lowest tax bracket. Representative Terry Katzma of Oostburg.
So this is broad-based. This is middle class.
But will it be middle class enough for Governor Tony Evers to sign Majority Leader Tyler August of Lake Geneva?
He continues to say things like, oh, I want a middle class tax cut. I want a middle class tax cut. That's exactly what this package is.
The other bills exempt up to $75,000 of retirees' income and expand tax credits for married filers and for those with children. At the Capitol, Bob Hague, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Joined by one Democrat in each chamber, Republicans in the State Assembly and Senate passed legislative district maps drawn by the Democrat Governor Evers. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss dismissed Democrats' concerns that the move was a ploy to set up a court challenge and expressed confidence that Republicans can still win.
They are clearly drawn in a way to help Democrats, but I still think we can win because we have a better message.
Republican lawmakers were responding to an order from the liberal majority in the state Supreme Court in December to redraw the legislative districts. Evers indicated last week he would sign the maps if they were not altered by lawmakers. A health alert for students who attended a Madison high school.
The Madison School District is warning parents and students who attended Val Phillips Memorial High School last spring that a former student had an active case of tuberculosis. The disease is highly contagious, and even though it has been several months since the student was in the building, Public Health Madison-Dane County will help parents with safety plans. Contact tracing is complete, and anyone who might have had exposure has been notified. Earlier this month, a UW-Madison student tested positive for tuberculosis, prompting campus health officials to notify more than 700 people who may have been exposed to the student. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
We're local, we're friendly, and we're fast.
You gotta love the Hometown Guys.
Become a member of the Hometown Guys. Adams Super Service is looking for an automotive technician for their growing family. The right candidate will have their own tools, 2 years' experience, good driving record, and a great personality. Adams Super Service offers paid holidays, leave, training, plus there's no weekend work. Visit Adams Super Service in Durand to apply.
You gotta love the Hometown Guys.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Warm and into the mid-40s for this Valentine's Day. But Old Man Winter returns his love with breezy winds and cloudy skies and a wintry mix striking after 5. It'll flip to all snow overnight and lay down around 2 to 5 inches. And the snow could be heavy at times. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, it's 42.
Alan, appreciate you being here. Coffee cup is full, ready to talk agriculture here today on the program. Coming up here in segment two, we're going to look at soybeans, soybean exports, demand, and more. Mac Marshall with the United Soybean Board is going to join us for a conversation. In segment three, while I was at the Northern Corn and Soy Expo last week in Fargo, I had a very interesting, eye-opening conversation with Peter Zion, Zion on Global Politics and Geopolitics, author and commentator. We're going to listen to that interview coming up in segment three today. Some very interesting things that Peter shared with me. We're going to talk about that and hear about it coming up here after the bottom of the hour. And in segment four, we're going to take a look at news headlines. We're, of course, watching the Farm Bill and the battle between House Democrats and House Republicans trying to figure things out there. We're also watching the dicamba issues, and the USDA released the 2022 Census of Agriculture. We're going to talk about those stories and more coming up in news headlines at the end of the show today. First up, though, we want to get a recap of the Clean Fuels Conference that happened last week in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metro. Joining us to recap what was going on at that conference and to tell us more, Heather Buchter, Communications Director with Clean Fuels Alliance America. Heather, great to have you on AOA with us today. Hope you're doing well.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, let's start, Heather, with just give us a recap and rundown of the conference. I know it was very well attended. I saw a lot of pictures from the conference last week, and I'm sure many great conversations surrounding renewable diesel, sustainable aviation fuel, things like that. Can you give us just a quick recap to start of the conference?
It was really a phenomenal week in Fort Worth last week. You know, the conference brings together decision makers from across the value chain, so feedstock providers, fuel producers, marketers, and end users, and really, like you said, just to make those connections and build the industry. We had more than 800 attendees this year with representation from 20 different countries, so that kind of gives you an idea of where our industry is heading to and the interest surrounding clean fuels. You know, new EPA data shows that the clean fuels industry hit record growth in 2023, 4.6 billion gallons consumed. So at the conference, we really heard from the corporate leaders who are implementing biodiesel, renewable diesel, sustainable aviation fuel into their sustainability strategies. We also talked about emerging market opportunities, climate smart ag, and then just, you know, the feedstocks needed to reach all these goals. Some of the key takeaways, you know, California has remained the main driver of clean fuels demand in the U.S. Just in the third quarter of 2023, biodiesel and renewable diesel accounted for 60% of all diesel fuel sold in the state, using more than 200 million gallons of soybean oil. So we're keeping an eye on other states looking to implement similar policies. And I believe the Clean Fuel Standard actually just passed in New Mexico's legislature yesterday and is awaiting the governor's signature. So state policy will play a role in demand moving forward. And other demand factors are that consumers and investors are just expecting companies to be committed to carbon reduction. And this was backed up by many fleet operators at our conference, not only on road, but also in those emerging clean fuels markets like rail, marine, and aviation. We heard from executives from PepsiCo. They discussed decarbonization of their 80,000 vehicle fleet, which is possibly the largest in North America. Railroads are bullish on biodiesel. You know, blends of biodiesel and renewable diesel have really just proven to be an attractive combination to meet sustainability goals of the railroads while maintaining performance. So we heard that from both Union Pacific and BNSF Railway. And, of course, we had a couple of different panels on sustainable aviation fuel as well.
Yeah. Well, and Heather, I think about this and everything you mentioned. I think it sounds like the conference really echoed what we're hearing, you know, broadly across the country right now, just the excitement surrounding all the various clean fuels opportunities that are out there in front of us here in 2024 and beyond, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, SAF is really a groundbreaking market for the ag industry. And we've got a head start on decarbonizing the aviation industry. You know, we're the only commercial technology that's currently available. And the goal is to have 3 billion gallons of SAF by 2030, with soybean oil and canola oil contributing to about 90% of that. So just to put that into perspective, only 20 million gallons of sustainable aviation fuel is currently being produced. So just a tremendous opportunity for producers of soybeans, corn, and other feedstocks that can really help increase production, and just a lot of work to be done in the next 6 years too. So we did hear from panelists at our conference from American Airlines and Southwest Airlines just about the lofty goals ahead and looking to partner with the ag community to make that happen.
Yeah, a lot of lofty goals ahead, but sounds like great conversations happening there at the Clean Fuels Conference last week. And we're talking with Heather Buchter, Communications Director from Clean Fuels Alliance America. Heather, I know as well, coming up here just a couple of weeks, Commodity Classic happening in Houston, Texas. I know you guys are going to be there. You're going to have some education opportunities on hand for farmers during Classic. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we have a great team heading to Houston for Commodity Classic, and we do have a Learning Center session this year. It's called Coordinating Demand for New Fuels and Opportunities for New Crops. So Clean Fuels and member companies will be discussing growing demand for biodiesel, renewable diesel, and sustainable aviation fuel, and then just the strategies to meet the industry's feedstock needs. So a great, great session. It's going to be happening on leap day, so easy to remember, which is Thursday, February 29th at 3:30 Central Time, and we'll be in room 310 of the George R. Brown Convention Center. So please plan to join us for that learning session. Be engaged with us as we're there. Stop by our booth in the exhibit hall, say hello, and we'd be happy to answer any questions too.
Yeah, it's going to be a great time again coming up in Houston at Commodity Classic here just a few weeks away. Heather, too, before we wrap up this segment, I know Clean Fuels, you guys have a lot of great information available, including a podcast that folks can listen to find out more about all the different opportunities that are out there surrounding Clean Fuels. Can you give us a plug for that real quick?
You bet. You know, so many people said that there is just so much great content generated from our conference, and they wanted to continue the conversation, and this podcast is a great way to do that. We just launched the Better Cleaner Now podcast in January, so brand new, a lot of great discussions happening, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts. So we release new episodes every Wednesday morning, and you know, this has really been a passion project of mine because it really gives the staff here at Clean Fuels who are experts in their field the opportunity just to sit down and have an authentic conversation about all aspects of the industry with guests. And we really just want our listeners to feel like they're eavesdropping on a really good conversation and learn a thing or two while they're at it, too. So we're going to take you under the hood of the car and really hit all aspects of the industry. It's just a nice way to take a deep dive into some of these topics. And, you know, we are always looking for more guests. And if you have questions and, you know, topic ideas, shoot me an email and we'll be sure to get that on the show, too.
Fantastic. Well, I know folks can get more information, cleanfuels.org, right, Heather?
That's right. That's our website.
Cleanfuels.org. Heather Buchter, Communications Director with Clean Fuels Alliance America. Heather, thanks for joining us on AOA today. Really appreciate the time. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, coming up next, we're going to talk soybeans with Mac Marshall from the United Soybean Board. He joins us next on AOA.
When it comes to cereal disease protection, Prosaro Pro 400 SC fungicide from Bayer makes all the difference. With three effective active ingredients for overlapping control of foliar and head diseases, and a flexible application window for head scab, it's formulated to lower DON, protect yield potential, and promote superior grain quality. Prosaro Pro. The future of plant health starts here. Visit ProsaroPro.com to learn more. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
On February's episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we discuss the relationship between the corn and poultry and egg industries with John Del Monte from NCGA, along with Mary Alice Kane and Jenna Gress from the USA Poultry Egg Export Council, known as USAPEEC.
We are a trade association. We represent the U.S. poultry and egg industry who exports, and we represent all sectors. Anyone who's touched by exports and is involved in the industry can be a member of USAPEEC.
From corn's perspective, obviously the poultry industry is a big customer. So as Mary Alice and Jenna both spoke to, you know, exports are obviously an area that they specialize in. Exports account for 28 cents a bushel to the value of corn. So corn has a very vested interest in what poultry exports are doing.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkEgg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Egg on YouTube.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Every tractor owner knows that support and service after the sale is what makes a good tractor company great. That's what you can count on from LS Tractor. An extensive dealer network gives you convenient access to genuine LS Tractor factory parts and factory-trained technicians, keeping you in the tractor, not in the waiting room. Schedule your service with Synergy Co-op, your LS Tractor certified service center. LS Tractor, simply more.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA. Let's talk soybeans right now. Joining us, he is the Vice President of Market Intelligence for the United Soybean Board and the U.S. Soybean Export Council. Mac Marshall joins us here on AOA. Mac, it's great to have you back on the show, my friend. Hope you're doing well.
Hey, doing great, Jesse. Thanks for having me back, man. It's good to hear your voice.
Yeah, it's good to hear your voice as well. Good to talk with you as we are looking at soybeans here, beginning part of the year, and really just examining this soybean market as a whole. I know you know, prices, the markets themselves have come back down. But, you know, we look at soybeans in general here. I think about the latest WASDE reports that we've just had, you know, still fairly tight balance sheet on the U.S. side, things like that. I guess just let's start this off. Give me your 1,000-foot view of where the soy complex and the soybean markets kind of stand right now here in the early part of 2024 back.
Yeah. And, you know, I think just as is always the case in commodity markets, we can focus on the here and now and, you know, the drivers that are really underpinning it in the moment. But I think it's also important to, you know, zoom back out and have that 30,000, you know, foot view as well. So, you know, I'd say where we are in the moment, you know, you've had soybeans touch a 3-year low for a confluence of factors. You know, we had some beans added to the balance sheet in terms of expected carryout for this year. Not that that's the huge thing weighing on the market, really. It's a large Brazilian crop, not as big as it was once expected. A rebound in Argentina. You've got questions about demand coming out of China as, you know, it's got another year of population decline. You've got cheap Brazilian beans on the market. So there's a lot of things coming together that I think are creating an overall bearish sentiment around beans in the moment, certainly as we're heading towards planting season. But I think it's also really critical to, you know, look beyond where we are now and think, you know, really think holistically about why soybeans are needed, why there's a very robust global marketplace, and the developments that are happening here domestically. You know, I've been on before and I've talked about this crush capacity expansion that's coming online and, you know, the implications coming out of that, certainly having more meal. And I'd say that's one real bright spot that we've got for this season that I think also sets up well for the future, is that we've got meal exports running over 10% ahead of last year's record pace. And this is what's going to need to happen moving forward as we're producing more meal. We want to be able to get that high quality product into the hands of customers, both domestically and internationally, for advancing protein availability on a global basis. And that need is there, as well as energy transition, but we can get back to that.
Yeah, no, I agree. That need is there. Well, and to your point here, just in the last segment, we talked with Heather Buchter from Clean Fuels Alliance America, and their conference last week, they talked a lot about SAF, biodiesel, things like that. So, you know, looking at crush demand and more of these crush plants coming online, plus this added potential of, you know, soybeans working their way into uses for, you know, sustainable aviation fuel, et cetera. There's, even though things are kind of shifting a little bit, I think here, Mac, in terms of how we use our soybeans, there's a lot of opportunity out there, right?
And there always has been. That's always been the nature of soybeans, is that you have the versatility around it. I mean, I was watching It's a Wonderful Life over Christmas, and at one point, my mom called me back because I left the room. She's like, "Hey, Mac, they said something about soybeans." And, you know, one of the characters in that movie, which came out, I think, in 1941, is talking about, you know, soy applications in plastics. And that's where we are now. And I think that's what's really exciting, to your point about how there are shifts in demand. You know, and that's, I think, another fascinating thing about soy and how we think about the portfolio of investments to advance the soy industry here in the United States, the work of our farmers on the checkoff, is it's looking at things that are, you know, demand channels and opportunities, I think, that are, you know, structurally always there and solid. And that's certainly what we have on the protein side and, you know, the meal side that we're just talking through as far as exports, as well as advancing domestic animal agriculture. But you also have to think about, you know, where non-traditional uses could be going and what the opportunities there are as well. And I was actually at that Clean Fuels conference last week, and anytime I'm, you know, talking in the biofuel sphere, I always like to impart a little bit of a history lesson here, which is, you know, if we go back 30 years, you know, to the 90s, when soybean oil was a little bit more of an afterthought, it took forward-thinking farmers, you know, I think a lot of courage and panache to come together and say, you know, there might be an opportunity here for using soybean oil as a fuel feedstock. And that's how the biodiesel industry really started getting its first steps before eventually becoming commercially viable and really creating the stage for this renewable diesel and sustainable aviation fuel surge that's going on now. So that was a pivot back then, and it's taken a long time. But over that time, it's brought a lot of value, I think, back to not just the soybean industry, but I'd say to the economy at large. We have to have a more diverse and resilient energy ecosystem, which is why the work of entities like Clean Fuels and is so important. It's providing another channel as well for for a farm product. And new creation of markets or advancement of existing markets for farmers, that's something we're always excited about. It's just that the new opportunities that come about, sometimes they're always going to be built on the previous wave of innovations, but sometimes you don't necessarily know where that next angle is going to come from. But with soy, it's incredibly versatile. So, the sky's really the limit.
Definitely. We're talking with Mac Marshall from the United Soybean Board. And Mac, in terms of where these markets are at right now, a lot of these new exciting things that are coming online, I know a lot of times I think folks in U.S. agriculture get hung up on, where's China? Is China buying U.S. soybeans, et cetera? Well, China's largely been moving to South America and taking advantage of that big Brazilian crop. And so I think, in terms of U.S. exports to China, running a little bit lower than some people would want to see, but I know China's still a player for U.S. beans. But in your eyes, beyond the China aspect, what are some other countries that we need to watch here in the year ahead that could maybe pick up some slack on soybean exports from the U.S.?
It's a great question. I think also goes back to that point you'd made about how we think about shifts in consumption, shifts in demand, and what that means for effectively what we're going to be supplying to the world. First of all, with the crush expansion, that means that, fundamentally, our volume of exports, it'll still be, I think, predominantly oriented towards export of whole beans, but meal is taking on a greater share of importance of our total export volume and by extension, the value of our exports. So when we think about meal markets, those are going to be a little bit different from some of the whole bean markets. These are generally smaller markets across Latin America and parts of Southeast Asia, that might not have the full downstream crushing industry and facilities to support large import of whole beans. So we have to think differently about those markets. There are markets that have historically been whole bean markets for us as well that also import meal, but it's predominantly historically been sourced from places like Argentina. Well, that's an opportunity, I'd say for us in the U.S. to, expand presence into those markets. Indonesia certainly comes to mind there. We export over 2 million tons of whole beans there, but not a lot of meal, where they import, over 5 million tons of meal from South America. That's an opportunity for producers over there to, experience the value of U.S. soy meal. I'd say that's one piece, just structurally thinking differently about the meal markets that are going to be important, where you've got centers of animal production, both on land and in aquaculture. Certainly throughout Latin America, aquaculture is continuing to grow. We've got a lot of, smaller markets that aggregate into, collectively large meal markets. We also have to, continue to look at, what are the further downstream markets that might not be commercially relevant today, but are going to matter in the future. I was in Nigeria earlier this year. Now, we don't export hardly any soy products to Nigeria right now, but when you consider what the population trajectory is there, as well as the fact that it's an incredibly young country and that the consumer base is going to be growing substantially in the years to come, and with increased economic performance, likely some dietary shift and the need for, more animal protein. Well, what does that mean? That needs more and more soy protein to help support it. And, that's the sort of lens, really long-term that we're looking through as we evaluate, future investments in how to advance the soy industry.
Good thoughts, Mac. We're up against the clock. Real quick, USDA Outlook Forum here later this week. Any inkling going into that Outlook Forum, what USDA could say for soybean acreage in 2024?
It's going to be very interesting. I mean, I'm always intrigued by what comes out in February at the Outlook Forum, with the caveat that, it changes by the time we get to the survey-based reporting and the planning's report at the end of March. Certainly, you know, the price environment, you know, weighing on beans. But last year we didn't, I don't think we planted enough. There's a lot of preference for corn. So, you know, maybe we'll see a reversal this year, but, you know,
we'll have to see.
A lot of factors.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Mac Marshall, United Soybean Board. Mac, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Jesse. Have a good day.
We'll be back with more on AOA right after this. On February's episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we discussed the relationship between the corn and poultry and egg industries with John Del Monte from NCGA, along with Mary Alice Kane and Jenna Gress from the USA Poultry Egg Export Council, known as USAPEEC.
We are a trade association. We represent the U.S. poultry and egg industry who exports, and we represent all sectors. Anyone who's touched by exports and is involved in the industry can be a member of USAPEEC.
From corn's perspective, obviously the poultry industry is a, you know, is a big customer. So as Mary Alice and Jenna both spoke to, you know, exports are obviously an area that they specialize in. Exports account for 28 cents a bushel to the value of corn. So corn has a very vested interest in what poultry exports are doing.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
Looking to upgrade the home appliances? Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling features gas and electric ranges, refrigerators, freezers, washers, and dryers from General Electric and Speed Queen. If you need an appliance repair, Elsevia Co-op Heating and Cooling can service all major appliances. Call Elsevia Co-op and ask for Jody Feedy. She'll help you with all of your home appliance needs. Elsevia Co-op, your GE and Speed Queen appliance dealer, Durand.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. March milk down 41 to 1702, April down 38 to 1729, May down 25 to 1767, June down 15 at 1807. Meanwhile, live and feeder cattle markets were mostly lower on the day as the live cattle complex continued to move sharply lower after the consumer price index report showed higher inflation. That also adversely affected the feeder cattle market as cattlemen and traders are concerned that interest rates won't likely be reduced anytime soon. Meanwhile, hog markets, they closed mostly higher on the day, even though pork cutout values were lower. A lot of short covering helping to support the markets and additional technical buying. February live cattle down $1.35 to $182.40. March feeder cattle down $1.77 to $246.22. February hogs up 95 cents to $75.17. Chicago Board of Trade. Corn markets moved sharply lower along with soybeans and wheat in a broad risk-off type of trade today, even though corn had oversold conditions, but the additional sell-off led to additional selling soybeans following suit. South American harvest also pressuring prices. Wheat markets mostly lower. The dollar remains elevated and that pressured the market. New crop corn down 5.5 to 464 and a quarter. New crop beans down 10 and a quarter to 1155. And March wheat down 12. Join Security Financial Bank for the 4th Annual Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference, February 22nd at Florian Gardens in Eau Claire. Come gather strategies developed specifically for local agriculture producers, from knowing your numbers to application drones. The Chippewa Valley Agriculture Conference has something for everyone. Call 715-672-2412 or visit sfbank.com for more information. SFB, an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA. Well, right now, I want to take a minute, go back to my time last week in Fargo, North Dakota at the Northern Corded Soy Expo. I had a chance to sit down with Peter Zion, geopolitical strategist and commentator. He was one of the keynote speakers during the Northern Corn and Soy Expo, and a busy guy, a lot of traveling Peter does, but happy to get a few minutes with him to talk about geopolitics and their impact on agriculture. Here is that interview on AOA. Peter, it's good to see you, and great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us today.
Great to be back in Fargo.
Let's talk broad range of issues, obviously, when it comes to geopolitics around the world and more that are hampering things. And I that's the best way I could put it.
How much time do we have?
Yeah, we have a lot. Between the Middle East, between things in China, et cetera, et cetera. You talk a lot about this stuff. I mean, 1,000-foot view. What are some of the things you're telling folks here at attendance today? What's the big thing that we really need to be concerned with here in the short term?
We're well past the point of no return when it comes to deglobalization. Population structures around the world have degraded to the point that most countries couldn't recover to where they were 10, 20, 30 years ago, even if everyone just sat down and had four kids. Mm-hmm. We're 50 years on into this process now. There aren't enough young people to regenerate populations in most places, with China by far being at the top of that list. So we're not just looking at the collapse of the Chinese system in the next 10 years now. We're now looking at the dissolution of the Han ethnicity by the end of this century. And, you know, it's one thing to kind of say that as a breezy statement, and then another one to have that conversation with folks in the agriculture sector who see China as their ticket for any number of reasons. Well, that's going to go to zero, and it's probably going to go to zero in the next 5 to 6 years. So we need to start thinking about not just different markets, but a fundamentally different structure for how everything in the sector works. Mm-hmm. Luckily, there are a number of countries where this is not true. Places in Southeast Asia look great. The Mexicans, of course, are our number one trading partners in any number of sectors, of which agriculture is only one. But the bottom line is this globalized reach system that we've become used to.
Sure.
Requires a population structure that no longer exists. And so this was always going to be the decade when it broke. And we need to look at a more regional approach to how we trade. And that means we need to look at a more regional approach to how we grow.
Well, and I think about, you mentioned the regional approach. I feel like we've already seen, I call it the shuffling of the deck chair, so to speak. We've already seen some of that happening here in the last 10 years with, you know, in case China going to South America more, things like that. But even, you know, the U.S. hasn't had a new trade agreement in 10 years. Mm-hmm. I mean,
We've had several under Trump that were updated, and overall those were pretty good. But we're not going to have another one in the next decade unless it's going to be really very modest, if anything. Mm-hmm.
But to your point, some of those deck chairs have already kind of started to shuffle to some degree, right?
Well, to use the example that you brought up with the Chinese going to Brazil, the Chinese made the decision about 7 years ago that they would never buy another anything from the United States ever again unless they had absolutely no other choice. Mm-hmm. And since they print currency like mad, they are able to generate economic activity in places that normally wouldn't happen. And so as long as you can throw a bottomless supply of investment capital at Brazil, Brazil can produce. What I'm suggesting is, for a number of reasons, political, geopolitical, demographic, is that strategy on a global basis isn't going to work very well much longer. And when that goes, it takes Brazil with it. So, we've seen a lot of rearrangement, but it's nothing compared to what's coming soon. Pretty much, if there is an acre on the planet that has been brought into production since 1945... Okay. These are territories that require huge amounts of industrial level inputs, because in the world before 1945, most of agriculture wasn't industrialized, and it's only in the globalized system that these technologies were able to push into these other areas. You're talking here about 60% of the land that's under till. That doesn't work in a post-globalized system. So it's not so much that it's the chairs being moved around. It's like the ship itself is going down fast.
Okay.
And unless you're in one of those zones that either has better land quality from a pre-1945 point of view, or has access to the input streams that's necessary to maintain output, you're just going to be out of the game. Now, luckily for the American Midwest, we're in both of those categories. Mm-hmm. So we are probably not going to see any significant challenge to our ability to produce, which means that most of the competition goes away. But the road from here to there, wow. roller coaster.
Definitely, definitely. Well, and you throw on top of it too, wars. We've had the Russia-Ukraine conflict. And then a lot of the tensions rising in the Middle East again. I know that's been a hot topic, and that's disrupted a lot of global shipping, et cetera, et cetera. So I know that's it. You know, that throws a monkey wrench into things as well, doesn't it?
We have been very fortunate these last 2 years that the situation with agriculture and shipping in general has not been a lot worse. Russia is one of the major producers of fertilizers of all types. Russia is the number one wheat exporter. Ukraine's the number five wheat exporter. They're fourth and fifth, respectively, for corn and soy. And most of this stuff goes through the Red Sea in one way or another. So the fact that we have all this vulnerability and a shooting war, and we still haven't seen a meaningful disruption to the shipments, that is not a minor miracle. Mm-hmm. And we should not count on this persisting. We're lucky it hasn't broken already. The break is coming.
I know, too. This is a year where how many elections do we have around the world?
All of them.
All of them. Yeah. It's like the most in history, I believe. And so that in itself, with so many people going to the polls to vote, that in itself could change policy, things like that nature. I know that's another thing that I think is in front of agriculture, really in front of the world right now.
Well, it's going to be different based on where you are, and some of these elections mean nothing, especially in places like Russia. And others are... We know exactly how they're going to turn out. So, yeah. Like India, for example, Modi's party, the BJP, is just going to be dominant for a third cycle now.
Yep.
Here at home, though, from an international economic point of view, I don't mean to suggest that there's nothing to talk about for American elections. There's a lot. But from an international economic point of view, Donald Trump and Joe Biden are the two most similar presidents we have ever had. They're starkly populist. They're starkly protectionist. They're starkly anti-Chinese. And... it doesn't matter at all which one wins, because we're going to get a system that is anti-trade, is not interested in holding up the ceiling for international trade, is not interested in globalization. And while there are a number of people in the United States, especially in the manufacturing space, who see this as fantastic, obviously for ag, where one out of every three calories we produce is exported, that's a bit of a problem. Mm-hmm. Now, over the midterm, as the agricultural production system on a global basis breaks down, this is all going to work out great for the American farmer, because most of the competition is going to go away and the terms will be much, much, much better. But it really matters the order in which things break down.
Sure.
So like if Brazil breaks before China, then we have a shortage of everything. If China breaks before Brazil, then we have a glut of everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm afraid that countries are not signing up to a schedule for their dissolution.
Sure. You're going to have a great keynote here this afternoon, talking to folks and sharing, I'm sure, a lot of these same thoughts with farmers and ranchers in attendance. For folks who are listening in, though, you know, we're on the cusp here of a brand new year, looking ahead. I mean, especially for farmers and ranchers and those involved in agriculture, what do you really want to reiterate to them and drive home to them that they need to keep in mind as they look at the global picture of everything?
You need to have a really sharp look and be very brutally honest with yourself about what enables the markets that you care about to function. So I think the best example, and I'm from Iowa here, so I can say this.
I'm from Iowa as well.
Okay. Corn today does not work unless there's a giant global animal fodder market and ethanol. You break down global trade, the animal fodder market goes away because people aren't going to be able to afford animal protein. And there was never a national security and economic interest for ethanol. It's a subsidy program. Mm-hmm. And so if you break down trade, drive up the cost of food to the stratosphere, that program goes away. There's no reason for it to be in existence except for rural support. So the dynamism, the rate of change is going to be so much more for the remainder of this decade than it's been for the last 20 years. And I don't think people in the sector really understand the degree of the shock that's coming. Again, we will all end up in a better place after this is done. But predicting the path is difficult. And that means you need to focus on what everyone got into agriculture for in the first place, and that's to feed people, not to put fuel in cars. And so you have to look at what programs and what countries you're dependent upon and why, so that you can chart your way forward.
Peter, very insightful stuff. I know folks can find your commentaries online, YouTube as well. What's the best way for folks to find you, Peter?
If you go to zion.com/newsletter, so zeihan.com/newsletter, that's the fastest way to get everything that I put out.
Fantastic. Peter Zion, appreciate a few moments of your time here in Fargo today. Thanks for joining us. We'll have to have a conversation again soon.
Absolutely.
I must say, definitely a thought-provoking and a little bit of an eye-opening conversation I had there with Peter Zion last week while I was at the Northern Corn and Soy Expo in Fargo. Really interesting stuff. And again, you can learn more online and check out his commentaries. Just go to zion.com/newsletter, as Peter said, and you can check things out there. Again, Peter Zion on geopolitics. You can see him on YouTube and much more. Some very interesting things to think about, that is for sure. All right, coming up next here on AOA, we're going to take a look at news headlines before we run out of time on the program today, including the USDA releasing the 2022 Census of Agriculture results on Tuesday. We're going to recap those. We're also going to talk about the potential of this farm bill and a bit of a line being drawn in the sand between House Democrats and House Republicans, and also some more updates on the dicamba issue. That and more coming up after the break. We'll be back here on AOA right after this.
Attorney Joe Cordell. Business owners and professionals face special challenges in divorce court. In addition to everything else going on, they have to contend with allegations that they are earning more than they are, coupled with claims on their business or practice itself. Clients with assets depend on their divorce lawyer's skills in these matters, and that's why it's so important to hire someone that has those skills.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Madison area attorneys. 1110 Fourier Drive, Suite 120, Madison, Wisconsin, 53717.
Hey everyone, it's Joe Montana. Spreading the word about pneumococcal pneumonia, a potentially serious bacterial lung disease that can be life-threatening. If you're 65 or older like me, you're at increased risk. So, what's the game plan? A strong defense. Pneumococcal pneumonia can strike at any time in any season, so you shouldn't wait to help protect yourself. Talk to your doctor or pharmacist about vaccination today and learn more at knowpneumonia.com. That's K-N-O-W pneumonia.com.
Sponsored by Pfizer.
My daughter is normally a little goofball, but after a bad night's sleep, she's too tired to be anything. That's why I trust Pure Z's Kids. Pure Z's Kids is mindfully formulated just for kids. Their non-habit forming, drug-free products help my daughter fall asleep naturally, giving her the rest to be her best.
I'm a dinosaur.
Her best dinosaur.
Pure Z's Kids, for ages 4 and up when needed. Explore our products at ZQuil.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This year, wouldn't it be great to stop dealing with thin, brittle, shedding hair and instead have the thick, healthy, gorgeous hair you've always wanted? Now you can by using Hair Volume from New Nordic. Look for Hair Volume at your local Walgreens and CVS or online at Amazon.com or NewNordicUSA.com.
Pluto TV won't cost you a thing because everything is free. So if you want to watch Braveheart, Mean Girls, or The Price is Right, well, The Price is Right. It's free. Just download the app, which, by the way, is also free. Pluto TV. Stream now, pay never.
Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we examine how the modern cooperative system solves today's biggest challenges. We'll be talking to CHS experts and farmers and ranchers just like you, and we'll learn how cooperatives apply innovation and technology to help co-op owners get more value every day. Join us Around the Table every Tuesday, or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
When it comes to cereal disease protection, Prosaro Pro 400 SC fungicide from Bayer makes all the difference. With three effective active ingredients for overlapping control of foliar and head diseases, and a flexible application window for head scab, it's formulated to lower DON, protect yield potential, and promote superior grain quality. Prosaro Pro. The future of plant health starts here. Visit ProsaroPro.com to learn more. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted car to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your car donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted car.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, USDA on Tuesday released the 2022 Census of Agriculture. USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service announced the results, and the information collected directly from producers shows a continued decline in the total number of U.S. farms. However, the data also shows a rise in the number of new and beginning farmers and young producers. Now, new and beginning farmers are defined as those operating 10 or fewer years on any farm, and young producers are those under the age of 35. Now, NAS Administrator Hubert Hamer says, quote, overall, though there are always changes across U.S. agriculture, the data remains largely consistent with the previous ag census, end quote. Now, the data shows there were 1.9 million farms and ranches, down 7% from 2017, with an average size of 463 acres, which was up 5% from the last census. Family-owned and operated farms accounted for 95% of all U.S. farms and operated 84% of land in farms. You can find the complete data set online. Just go to nass.usda.gov/ag census. Again, that is nass.usda.gov/ag census. Well, reaction from folks throughout agriculture to the latest USDA Census of Agriculture numbers. American Farm Bureau Federation Chief Economist Roger Cryan says the census offers a wealth of data across all of agriculture.
It tells us everything about farming and ranching in the U.S. It tells us about where the farms are county by county. It tells us about the detail on the costs and inputs used by farms of a particular type. They have data broken out by commodity type. There's a lot of detail on farming practices, on conservation practices, marketing practices, just endless detail.
And again, the census shows there are fewer farmers and ranchers in business in 2022 compared to the previous census conducted in 2017.
We've got 141,000 fewer farms than we did 5 years ago, 20 million fewer acres farmed than we had 5 years ago. As the world rolls forward, it's really important to have enough land to produce the ever-growing needs of the world. That's one of the reasons why Farm Bureau is so supportive of conservation programs that focus on working land. And it's one of the reasons why the Farm Bill itself is so important to help farmers keep getting through the tough years so that they can keep producing in the long run.
And Cryan says the data is useful across the entire industry and beyond.
There's just so much use for this data for everybody who buys and sells from farmers, for farmers themselves, for everybody who serves farmers like we do, for all the government agencies, you name it. This is an incredibly rich source of data. And I know that when you see that kind of detail, you wonder how confidential is the information given over by the farmers. That information is very confidential. If you're worried about the confidentiality of your data, just ask folks at your state ag statistics office, and they'll tell you chapter and verse from memory, but statute that protects the farmers when they offered up for statistical collection.
Again, you can learn more at fb.org or also go to nas.usda.gov/ag census. Well, there's precedent for the EPA to allow farmers to use existing dicamba stocks after a federal court vacated the registration of dicamba products. American Farm Bureau's John Walt Boatwright says an earlier EPA existing stocks order gives AFBF hope the agency will again greenlight such use of dicamba on soybeans and cotton.
Back in 2020, a court also handed down a vacature of certain dicamba products. And EPA released an existing stocks order within, I believe, 5 or 6 days.
Now, AFBF President Zippy Duvall and American Soybean Association officials wrote EPA recently urging it to issue an existing dicamba stocks order for the upcoming planting season. That after a federal court in Arizona vacated registration of 3 dicamba products critical in fighting resistant weeds. Boatwright added,
"It's critical for our farmers and ranchers around the country who utilize this and expected, made purchasing decisions and business decisions based on the fact that they would have dicamba ready to go.
And spent millions of dollars, some of it borrowed, on dicamba and resistant seeds."
That's the real problem here, is that folks have already made business decisions and now potentially to be able to not use that product is going to be a major, major issue.
Now, the court vacated the registrations for Extendimax, Ingenia, and Tavium, ruling the EPA failed to offer a required public notice and comment period before issuing the 2020 registrations. Well, House Ag Democrats are doubling down on their line in the sand against repurposing climate and SNAP funds for farm programs. House Ag top Democrat David Scott, in an op-ed first published by AgriPulse, writes that Republicans continue to push objectionable offsets. But maybe, Scott writes, reading our views in black and white in the press will help them understand no means no. Now, Scott made the same case last June at a House Ag hearing.
"We stand united against any efforts to take food away from children, families, or any vulnerable American in this farm bill or any legislation."
Scott now argues that raiding programs backed by conservation, green energy, and nutrition interests does not achieve a bipartisan farm bill, but fractures the urban-rural coalition needed to pass one. And that has farm bill advocates concerned. American Farm Bureau's Ryan Yates.
"I think you're seeing lines in the sand that are similar lines are being drawn in the Senate. And I think both sides are saying, you know, here's what we're willing to do and here's what we're willing to give up. This is part of a process."
And Yates also added,
"And until those sides and those issues can be resolved, it will further delay action on a farm bill, unfortunately."
And already delayed by other legislative fights in an election year calendar, however, faced with a fixed farm bill budget, though a record sum, both sides are still holding fast to their positions to either repurpose savings or somehow find new funds outside the farm bill. One other note here on the program today before we wrap it up. Food prices increased in January. Grocery prices increased slightly last month, according to the latest Consumer Price Index out on Tuesday. The CPI for all urban consumers increased 0.3% in January on a seasonally adjusted basis after rising 0.2% in December. Over the last 12 months, the all items index increased 3.1%. The food index rose 0.4% in January, and the food at home index also increased 0.4% over the month. 4 of the 6 major grocery store food groups indexes increased over the month as well. The food away from home index rose 0.5% in January. The index for full service meals, that rose 0.4%, and the index for limited service meals increased 0.6% over the month. Also, the food at home index rose 1.2% over the last 12 months, while the index for food away from home, that rose 5.1% over the last year. And with that, we are out of time here on the program today. Coming up tomorrow, we'll talk markets with Mike Zuzulo. We'll also have a conversation with Tillman White from the U.S. Cotton Trust Protocol. And we'll hear that recent convo I had with Dave Hightower from the Hightower Report. Thanks for listening. Have a good one. I'm Jesse Allen. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on AOA. On February's episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we discuss the relationship between the corn and poultry and egg industries with John Del Monte from NCGA, along with Mary Alice Kane and Jenna Gress from the USA Poultry Egg Export Council, known as USAPEEC.
We are a trade association. We represent the U.S. poultry and egg industry who exports, and we represent all sectors. Anyone who's touched by exports and is involved in the industry can be a member of USAPEEC.
From corn's perspective, obviously the poultry industry is a big customer. So as Mary Alice and Jenna both spoke to, you know, exports are obviously an area that they specialize in. Exports account for 28 cents a bushel to the value of corn. So corn has a very vested interest in what poultry exports are doing.
Join us the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But sometimes we don't see what's right in front of us. Victory over cancer is in front of us. Right now, cancer research is saving lives. Cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to new discoveries and new treatments. And ultimately, one day, victory.
Pluto TV won't cost you a thing because everything is free. So if you want to watch Braveheart, Mean Girls, or The Price is Right, well, The Price is Right. It's free. Just download the app, which, by the way, is also free. Pluto TV. Stream now. Pay never.
Hi, I'm Jade, and a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit is the savoriness of the sausage, the fluffiness of the egg, and the butteriness of the biscuit. It's amazing. The perfect start to my day.